So, welcome, Jim, to Christie Walk, where I live on unceded Kaurna land. So, would you like to introduce yourself for the listeners, what you do?
I'm the National Nuclear Campaigner, or Anti-Nuclear Campaigner, with Friends of the Earth Australia. So that's my main role. For 6 or 7 years, I was the editor of a publication called Nuclear Monitor, which is published by groups in Europe and North America. So they've been my main two roles in the past decade or two.
And you're based in Adelaide now?
Yeah, I had 14 years in Melbourne, but I've been in Adelaide for a few, and I was in Adelaide 20 years ago when we were helping the Cooper Petey Coonga Judas stop a national nuclear waste dump being built under the Howard government.
Yes, that was a real success, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was amazing, and the first of quite a few, actually, because in later years, successive governments tried to dump nuclear waste on Aboriginal land in the Northern Territory. That was a 7 or 8 year battle, and these are so uneven, these fights. The Muckaty tradition lines in the Northern Territory, with their limitations of resources and the tyranny of distance and everything, but they managed to win. Then there was a plan for a national nuclear waste dump in the Flinders, and the Adnamutna and their allies defeated that. And of course, most recently, the plan for a national nuclear waste dump at Kimber, which was defeated by Kimber farmers and the Bungala traditional owners. So it's been really interesting that the successive governments have failed to impose their will on Aboriginal communities in particular. But of course, the downside of that means that we've still got nuclear waste, and there still needs to be some sort of long-term resolution to that problem. And you hope that governments will learn the lessons of past mistakes, but they're very slow learners, so I'm not optimistic how that will play out. It could be yet another knock-em-down, drag-em-out battle where hopefully we win again, but even then, if we win the next time, we're back where we started, with nuclear waste and no resolution.
And do you think it'll go to Woomera?
Well, I guess one of the big questions now is, are they going to deal with AUKUS waste from nuclear submarines and existing Australian waste, most of which is from the Lucas Heights Nuclear Research Reactor? Will they deal with those waste streams separately, or will they combine it? That's one big question, and we really don't know. That's a 50-50 call at the moment. Or they might do some combination of that. They might say intermediate and high-level waste is destined for deep underground disposal, so they might deal with that in one category, whether it's civil or military origins, and they might deal with low-level waste separately. Anyway, there's all those different permutations. But, yeah, the Woomera prohibited area seems to have been targeted.
Because it's Commonwealth.
Yeah, that's coming from journalists who have spoken to politicians. So it certainly hasn't been locked in. There was a recent parliamentary inquiry into the nuclear submarines, and the government will be responding to that in the not-too-distant future. So we assume when the government responds that they will give us some idea of a whole range of issues. But none of it's positive. I mean, apart from the thuggish, anti-democratic, racist approach to nuclear waste management that every single government has used for the past quarter of a century, the AUKUS legislation is just thuggish and racist as well. It just strips communities of rights and a voice, and gives the government the power to impose all sorts of nuclear facilities on any community with no consultation. So, and of course now that's being done under the banner of defence or the military. So that's going to be even harder to stop than plans to deal with the Lucas Heights nuclear waste, because that's obviously a civil project.
South Australia has been very clear about nuclear. There was a citizens' jury that was a resounding, we don't want it.
Yeah, well, that was a citizen's jury into the proposal to import high-level nuclear waste and intermediate-level waste from all around the world. So this is different. You know, this is, the Luke site's waste plus nuclear submarine waste. One of the questions there is, second-hand nuclear submarines we're buying from the United States. It's pretty generous or pretty loose to describe that as Australian nuclear waste, yet Australia is offering to take, or the Australian government is offering to take control of that waste and to manage it somehow or other.
Why would Australia offer to take someone else's nuclear waste?
The government isn't really making that offer. It's just that the second-hand nuclear submarines that Australia will purchase from the United States, they will become Australian submarines, and Australia's offering to take control of that waste. There's no proposal from the current federal government to open up that whole idea of making South Australia the world's high-level nuclear waste dump. But some of the people who were proposing that a decade ago were saying it's time to start pushing that idea again. So that will resurface. But it's just, South Australians have said no, as you say. Traditional owners across the state have said no. I think the idea of us accepting other people's waste just creates, it's just not going to sell publicly. Even in the circumstances that prevailed under the Wetherill government, where you had a government that was prepared to put billions into the proposal, where you had the media, in particular the Murdoch media, that was 110% on side. Even in those sort of ideal circumstances where you would, if they're ever going to push it through, it would have been then. But they couldn't. It all died quickly, really. It was over within a span of about 18 months, which was a blessing to all of us, because that could easily have dragged on for decades. But the flip side of that is, some of these people are capable of learning from their mistakes, like opening this whole proposal to turn SA into the world's nuclear dump that was subjected to public scrutiny in the guise of the citizens' jury, and next time they just simply won't do that. They'll do what they're very good at, which is meaningless tokenistic consultation, and they'll just bulldoze ahead. So it's a threat. It's not an immediate threat. Certainly isn't a threat under the Albanese government in the foreseeable future. But, of course, the last time this came up, it was launched and driven by the state Labor government. So we have to be concerned about our state government as well as the federal government.
I just was remembering something from that Irrawaddy campaign. And I think it was Mrs. Wingfield saying that it was keep the poison in the ground, that they wouldn't camp there, they wouldn't sleep there. They knew where it was, and they wouldn't cook food there or anything, she was saying, because they knew that it was poison.
Yeah, I've heard those stories, not just in South Australia, but also in the Northern Territory. Yeah, it's interesting. There are some arguments that say Australia exports the uranium, so we should accept back the nuclear waste. Well, what in practice that can mean is that uranium is dug up despite the opposition of the Aboriginal traditional owners, and then they want to impose the nuclear waste despite the opposition of the Aboriginal traditional owners. It's a pretty dodgy sort of a logic. And, of course, if that's the argument, well, there is the option to just not dig it up in the first place.
So being able to do it without any consultation is wrong on every level.
Yeah, well, it's just as wrong to do meaningless tokenistic consultation, and God knows there's plenty of that. Parliamentary inquiries where everyone goes into it knowing what the outcome's going to be. Environmental impact assessments where everyone knows what the result's going to be. That can be worse than no consultation, because it's taking up people's time and energy when the result is already known. And if we go back to the Kungachuta and the Irrawaddy campaign, well, there was a whole lot of documentation released under Freedom of Information, and that included government bureaucrats talking about how they would consult with Aboriginal traditional owners, and I use the word consult in quote marks there, but the purpose of their consultation was so they could refine their propaganda, refine their pro-dump messages. It wasn't any genuine consultation whatsoever. It was just a cynical PR exercise that was exploiting and wasting the time of the Aboriginal people who subjected themselves to that sort of sham process.
You did your PhD on leukocytes. Why can't we just keep the waste there? Can you tell us a little bit about your PhD and about why it has to be moved from leukocytes?
Yeah, well, the PhD was 1992 to 97, and a very topical issue there, especially in, I was at Wollongong University, and leukocytes is 30 k's south of Sydney, or 50 k's north of Wollongong, and the debate over replacing the old reactor was very topical then. The Labor government under Paul Keating was very keen to replace it, and they set up something called the Research Reactor Review, but the Research Reactor Review couldn't find any compelling arguments to replace the reactor, so they said review this issue some years down the track. Then we had the Howard government, and they decided that we were going to get a new reactor and there would be no review, so they just announced it in September 1997. So that set off a battle which lasted for quite some years, and we were very much in the hunt for that one. We could have stopped it if not for the fact that the Howard government won 4 elections in a row, by which time it was much too late. But they were arguing that we needed a reactor for medical isotope production, which was a big focus of my PhD thesis. But that was all very cynical and didn't track at all with the experience of other countries who can import isotopes quite effectively and have sophisticated nuclear medicine services in addition to using cyclotrons to produce medical isotopes as well. So there was a hidden agenda, and the euphemism for that in the government's language was the national interest, or could call it national security even, but it was a hodgepodge of ideas about having a base level of nuclear expertise in case we wanted to go down the nuclear power path. I think there was an unwritten or unspoken part of that where you'd have a base of expertise in case Australia wanted to go down the nuclear weapons path, and also more immediate and practical things like having a base level of domestic nuclear expertise to assist with the visits of US nuclear warships and the ANZUS Alliance more generally, the nuclear components of the ANZUS Alliance. So it was those sort of arguments that were driving the government to do this. It had nothing to do with medical isotopes. But anyway, that was a bitter pill to swallow because a lot of people fought very hard. There was a very effective local campaign driven by local mothers in the Sutherland Shire. They had the local council on side for quite a bit of that time, so they managed to get prophylactic iodine distributed in chemists in the Sutherland Shire. But anyway, the reactor went ahead, and it was after that that I moved to South Australia to help the Cooper Peter Kungachuta. And as to your question, why not leave the waste there? Well, that's a great question, and it kind of goes back to this reactor debate, because when the Howard government made this announcement about the new reactor, they made a deal on our behalf without ever consulting Australians, and the deal was the reactor was going to be imposed in the Sutherland Shire at Lucas Heights, but they would get rid of the waste. So there was that political momentum to get the waste out of Lucas Heights to minimise local opposition to a new reactor. But anyway, they got the new reactor and they never got rid of the waste. And then there was a second political driver, which is that spent nuclear fuel from the Lucas Heights reactors has been sent overseas, and some of it comes back in the form of reprocessed intermediate level nuclear waste, and successive governments were very keen to avoid sending that intermediate level nuclear waste back to Lucas Heights, again for political reasons. They thought it would hurt their chances of winning seats in elections in the southern Sydney area. So there was that second political driver, but absent any other solution, that intermediate level nuclear waste has gone back to Lucas Heights. Hasn't caused much of a political storm, hasn't caused any environmental or public health problems that I'm aware of. Mind you, they're very secretive and so on, but I'm not aware of any problems. Certainly doesn't cost very much. That intermediate level waste, long-lived intermediate level waste, is stored at Lucas Heights. Most of the low-level waste that Australia has to deal with is stored there. And there's no reason it can't stay there. I mean, logically, it can stay there at least until such time as they no longer plan to operate nuclear reactors at Lucas Heights, but that's quite some decades into the future. So leaving it at Lucas Heights is the simple and the obvious option. And
transporting it, there's been quite a few incidents with transport, hasn't there?
Yeah, well, it's kind of exactly what common sense would tell you, that with large numbers of transports of any sort of material, you're going to get incidents. Mm. Most of those incidents or accidents will have little or no consequence, and occasionally you have accidents which do have serious consequences, but... Yeah, I mean, to give an idea of how stupid successive governments have been, including the current government, until they abandoned the Kimberley proposal, they were going to move all the long-lived intermediate-level waste from Lucas Heights, where they've currently got perfectly adequate storage facilities and access to most of Australia's nuclear experts and federal police security, they were going to move it to a shed at Kimber, even though you couldn't possibly dispose of that intermediate level waste at Kimber. It would just be a parking lot until such time as a future government established a deep underground repository for intermediate level waste, which could be in South Australia or Queensland or WA or the NT, could be anywhere. So to move the waste from Lucas Heights to Kimber and then to some unknown disposal site
in a shed,
it just makes absolutely no sense. I mean, there wasn't even a political rationale for that. Well, maybe to some limited extent, but not really. It just didn't make any sense. And to her credit, the current minister responsible for these issues, Madeleine King, when she abandoned the plan to dump nuclear waste at Kimber, she said exactly that it would be double handling, that it just would make no sense to move the intermediate level waste from Lucas Heights to Kimber and then to some unspecified location.
Did she get into trouble for saying that?
No. We can only guess at what was happening behind the scenes within the federal Labor government, but it was in the run-up to the referendum on The Voice, and I'm sure that figured in their calculations.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were saying, I mean, they were proposing to dump nuclear waste on the land of the Bungala traditional owners, despite the unanimous opposition of the Bungala owners and despite the refusal of Bungala traditional owners to accept multi-million-dollar bribes. So it was deeply racist. That factored into it. Perhaps the stupidity of this double-handling argument with respect to intermediate-level waste, I hope that carries some sway. I don't know what else went into their decision, but Madeleine King, I'm delighted that she decided to abandon this plan, but in doing so she said, you know, we've got world's best practice legislation governing nuclear waste management, and she's referring to the National Radioactive Waste Management Act, but it's a disgraceful piece of legislation. It had its origins in the Howard government and was tweaked by Martin Ferguson when he was the Labor Minister, and it basically is grossly undemocratic and offensively racist. That's basically all it does, is give the Commonwealth the power to do whatever it wants, whenever it wants, with nuclear waste, with no provisions for meaningful consent or no right of veto for local communities or for traditional owners or anyone. It's not world's best practice. It's just a disgraceful, thuggish, racist piece of trash.
It's unbelievable, isn't it? With the, but, you know, like back in the 50s, 70 years ago, with Emu Fields just doing it.
Well, yeah.
Attempting to, anyway, this time.
Yeah, I mean, these days they do more or less the same thing, just with a thin veneer of consultation, but the same level of deceit and incompetence. Mm-hmm.